Hi, Adalyn. Welcome to the Fundamental Guide to Life, the podcast with me, Gareth. Now, you know, here on the Fundamental Guide to Life, we love a bit of 90s and noughties nostalgia. So this season, we've teamed up with possibly the honeyest summer festival ever, Back 2 Festival. Back 2 Festival's 2022 lineup is literally all your hun dreams coming true. I'm talking Cascada, Venga Boys, Aqua, UB40, Bass Hunter, E17, The Artful Dodger, Hunsnet Fave Steps as part of their 25th anniversary tour, and so many more headlining acts. Now, in its sixth year, Back 2 Festival is the ultimate throwback party, spread over four nights and featuring three stages with over 100 iconic artists. This festival is definitely the one, hun. Wanna be bougie? No problem. This year's Back 2 Festival features a brand new VIP area, gorgy cocky tea bars, premium hun drinks brands, and local food traders for you and your gaggle of huns to enjoy. Taking place at Caton Park, Derbyshire, from the 30th of June to the 3rd of July, Back 2 Festival is going to give you all the bragging rights and plenty of Insta-worthy content. So block out the diary and galvanise your Dallins for a weekend to remember. Want to know more? Check out Back 2 Festival on FaceyB or at Back 2 Festivals on Insta. Tickets are on sale right now, babes, and start at just £30. So what are you waiting for, huns? Check out www.back2festivals.co.uk for all the down low on the weekend, the full lineup and tickets. It's going to be a right old rave up. Welcome to another episode of the Fundamental Guide to Life. We are steaming through the series and I am so excited because this week I'm welcoming a queen who was born in Suffolk, raised in Norwich, but was made in Dagenham or Dagenham. There's loads of hun puns in this. It's all downhill from here. She was a season three queen on RuPaul's Drag Race UK who made it to the top three. And she's here to spill the tea with me. And we want to see what type of hun Elle of a Day is. So welcome to the Fundamental Guide to Life, Elle of a Day.
Hello. How you doing? You having a good time?
Welcome to the Fundamental Guide to Life. First of all, we ask all of our guests on the Fundamental Guide to Life, the podcast, would you consider yourself a hun?
Do you know what? I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out during this podcast. I wouldn't consider myself a hun, but perhaps I am. I'm not sure.
Well, I've got this theory that everybody is a little bit of a hun depending on how hun they want to be on that day. So we will see, and we'll put you through the test. Now, one thing this podcast is all about is hun culture, things that huns like to do, watch and see. And of course, a massive part of hun culture is drag. And of course, RuPaul's Drag Race. And that's why it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. So why do you think that drag and hun sort of mix in the same world?
It's so funny, isn't it, how it has become hun culture drag. Like, you go to any drag brunch and you will see all the huns getting white girl wasted, you know, loving their life. I don't know what it is. I really don't. I think they must have a fascination with, you know, predominantly men dressed as women. And I think they're just fascinated by it. And the fact that we look better than them most of the time, I think that's a big part of it too.
As you know, we do our hun brunch, and I love what I love most about it is that all the gorgeous girlies come in at 12 o'clock and they look glam. They've got their nails did. They've got their heels on. Leaving at 5 o'clock is very much a very different story. It's not it's not that glam, but they've had a bloody good time. So that's great. Drag brunch is a huge part of hun culture and everything like that. I bet you've done your fair few drag brunches in your time. Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell, I have. I worked after Drag Race. I was in Brighton every Saturday and did two brunches in a day. And my goodness, I mean, I was quite tipsy by the second one. But the people in there were just hilarious because it was mainly people like, would you like to go on Drag Race, Ella? And I'd be like, nah, having just done it, you know. And they get leery, especially you got your hen parties. They walk in very sensible, like, oh, sure, we're going to have a great meal. Can't wait for this. By the time they're leaving, legless, you know,
feral.
Sally's been sick in the toilet, you know, they're taking home the guy selling the shots, they're taking him back to the next club. It's they are feral. It's a moment.
So let's pick up on something that you said there, because what we like to do is uncover a bit of Drag Race gossip whenever we have one of the queens on. So what's it like? So you record in, did you record early in the year? And how long are you living this lie that, oh no, I'm not on Drag Race?
So it was a couple of months or like 6-7 weeks before actually going away. And I think we filmed it February, March sort of time. And then you have to wait until September, until the announcement. So it's a long time. And there's various elements of people trying to get the gossip from you. You know, they've heard you're on. So you're like, oh, I've heard you're doing this. And then while you're away, obviously you've got no phone because they take it away and you're stuck in your little bedroom. And then when you get back, it's like, oh, hey, babe, do you want to meet up for coffee? And I'm like, I have not spoken to you for 3 years. Why would I go for coffee with you?
So you're living the lie day to day. Because, yeah, I mean, massive part of this as well is like all the Reddit forums as well. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I've been guilty every now and again, having a little look to see who's on and everything. And they're not always right, are they?
No, they're not. And I enjoyed checking the Reddit things as well, just to see what they knew. Like, and a lot of the details were wrong. Like, they didn't know. There was this rumor that nobody won Snatch Game and Bag of Chips came back to save it or something like that. And I was like, hang about, I won Snatch Game. And I'm like, go away. Like, it's funny. It's funny to watch.
So let's talk about the winning of Snatch Game. I know we were going to talk about that a little bit later, but let's you know, talk about the microwave moment. Yeah. What an iconic moment. Like, honestly, how many times when you do press, when you do interviews, do people do what I've just done and go, let's talk about that moment? Are you all microwaved out?
I know. A lot of the time people say, oh, say the microwavy. And I'm like, that is not how you say it. No, it's microwave. It was such a moment. Like, literally, the microwave thing, I think, happened quite close to me leaving. So it was like fresh material, because Nigella was my second choice. I wasn't going to do her. I was going to do old Mystic Meg. And it just so happened that Microwave happened. And I was like, well, there you go. There's an answer to Snatch Game if I need it. And Snatch Game was just one of those things. I was slightly petrified, to be honest, of Snatch Game, because I don't do celebrity impressions. Like, I act and I can improvise and stuff. So I always knew it's either going to go really fucking badly or it'll go well. And thank God it went in the better end, well, I won, so it went well.
Well, it's gone down as one of, like, it's a massive standout moment for me for season 3. So I salute the and the microwave. On the topics of microwaves again, what's your favourite microwave meal?
Oh, do you know what? Do you know what I love? And maybe this is a hun thing. Those little tubs of hot chocolate puddings that you put in the microwave for like 60 seconds, that sometimes I crave them and I just want to go to the corner shop and just get one of those, because I think there's nothing more satisfying than a slightly, you know, slightly tough, slightly hot, burn your mouth, you know, that sort of situation. That'd probably be my favourite.
Are we talking about the ones that you pierce the top and then the like there's an inconsistent temperature, so you could be just enjoying it, and then there's like molten lava in the middle and you're like tongues on the floor and you're like, why?
Yeah, you've got a mixture of ice, molten lava chocolate, and it's great. It's fantastic for all the family.
One thing that we talk about a lot on Hunsnet is the visit to the corner shop on a Sunday after a night on the tiles. I used to live directly next door to a corner shop, and the states that they had seen me come in over the years, and some of the products that I would buy depending on the time of the year and what I was feeling. If you're a little bit hangy-wangy on a hangover, what would you be popping next door to the corner shop for?
My corner shop man has seen me in all sorts of states, as I'm sure everybody listening. I think the corner shop man knows me better than my own partner, because I feel like, you know, when you go in there a bit hangy-wangy, as you just said, you seem to just blurt out information that they didn't even ask for.
Paranoid meltdown leaving the shop.
Literally, like, you've got that kind of guilt from the night before, and you just have to tell someone, and the corner shop man seems to be your therapist at that moment. I would usually pop to my corner shop and get myself an orange juice. It's usually from concentrate, so it probably doesn't have any vitamin C in it.
One of those just juice ones.
Yeah, just a juice, all the calories, none of the benefits. And I'm obsessed with Coke Zero, so I'd probably just get one of those litre bottles and just whack that down my throat.
What you like on the apps? I'm not talking the dating apps. I'm talking your foods, your Deliveroos, your Gorillas, your Getir.
Getir.
This is something which is literally... I don't leave the house anymore.
I'm obsessed with Getir. and get here now. I order in bulk Coca-Cola Zero, like, because they have an offer. You can get like 12 packs of Coke, and I'm getting my milk, you know, like proper, a bit of a mum as well. Like I'll bulk order my oat milk. But yeah, no, I'm obsessed with that. And if I had my way, we would probably get a delivery every night just because I'm a lazy girl.
You were questioning your hun, sort of where you are on the hun scale. I'd say, from what we've spoken about, you're the honeyest end.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually. Yeah.
So let's have some quick fire hunting with our curricula hun vitae, another stupid hun pun here. So you've got a background in acting, musical theatre, and obviously drag on Drag Race. I need to know where your hun qualities might come from. So are you in the club? Are you a slut dropper or a shimmy dancer?
Now, that depends how much I've drunk, what I've been drinking. I think I start the night as a sort of shimmy. Come on, just stand on the edge.
Yeah.
You know, after a couple of shots and whatever, I am the slut dropper of the season, on the pole, everything. I will be
greasing that pole on a Saturday night.
You don't know, yeah.
Which clubs did your drag get born in? Where did you get inspired? And where did you, you know, where did you go out back in the day and you're thinking, I could do that? Were you like GAY heaven, all of that sort of thing?
I mean, I never used to really go out in drag, to be honest with you. Uh-huh. I just kind of started and started gigging. Yep. But when I just graduated college, age 19, and I hadn't even come out at that stage. Uh-huh. GAY Late was my haunt of choice, and I was there 3 or 4 times a night. I lived in Dalston Junction, so me and my friend would leave the house at midnight, and I'd be like, right, let's go out. And you know what I used to drink, which is really disgusting, and maybe honey, maybe, I don't know.
This is, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be dead honey. Do it. Go on, give it to us.
It used to be a pint of wine with a lemonade top, and I used to drink it through a straw.
Have you had the audacity to come on here at the top of the show and say, question, am I a hun? A pint of wine with a lemonade top. I mean, hun, I'm going to have a week off. You could take over.
Well, I thought I wasn't a hun. Maybe I'm just trying to hide the fact that I am a massive hun.
Embrace it. Embrace it. Isn't it funny? Like, I don't know about you, but my GAY late glory years were 2012 and 2013. So I remember all the songs from back there. And we used to drink triple gins. Triple gin and tonic. I can't even go near gin and tonic now because of 2013 GAY Late.
I can't drink white wine anymore. No. I think I rotted my stomach, my teeth, my brain. Mm-hmm. Gin is now what I drink. I can do a whole night.
Oh, you are?
Gin. Yeah, I'm great.
I've got a whole cupboard full over there that I'll send over to you because people think people from back in the day have not seen me for ages. Like, you like gin, don't you? And you're like, yeah. Uh-huh. So obviously you're out gigging, doing lots of stuff, touring and things like that. Do you get a lot of time at home to watch daytime TV?
I do now and then, yes. I have been super busy recently, but I have had a reasonably quiet week this week, so I've caught a lot of TV,
I think daytime TV is like infested with huns, because obviously you've got your Loose Women, you've got your This Morning. Are you a Loose Woman or a This Morning type of hun?
I usually catch sort of the end part of This Morning into Loose Women, yes, indeed. Yeah. And then I love that show where they go around the houses, and there used to be that woman.
Is it 60 Minute Makeover?
No, I used to love that when Claire Sweeney was on that, Dreams.
This series of the podcast, if you've not listened to any of the episodes before, is just literally turning into a chronological account of Claire Sweeney's career. I am so here for it. I'm so here for it.
I saw a video of Claire the other day, and she's now got a Liverpudlian London accent. She said some of her words so strangely, not strangely. You know how people, like, if you're in One Direction, you go to America and then you start sounding like you're Australian. Claire.
Wink. Yes, Liam. Liam.
Liam and Harry now. Have you seen the Harry video?
Harry. Oh, God, yeah.
It seems if you come to London, you start saying, like, one, you know, saying your words different.
Fabulous. So if you went out on a night out with Claire Sweeney, we know you don't like the wine, but do you like Prosecco and cocktails? What would be Prosecco or cocktails? Cocky teas?
I am definitely a mixer, which is not great. I would start off with a Prosecco until I realise, okay, we need to stop on the Prosecco.
Yeah.
And then we'll move to a cocktail. And I'll usually go for I can never remember the name of it, but the coffee one, as my friends know, I call it. The coffee one.
So it's, so I think its real name is the espresso martini, but the huns call it the espresso martini. I'd just like to say to all huns out there, espresso or espresso martini, you do you, hun. No one's judging.
I do love an espresso martini.
Loves an espresso, an espresso martini. I don't drink Prosecco anymore because it gives me the heartburn. And I literally, like, I was there somebody the other day and they were like, do you want a Prosecco? I was like, yeah. And I've spoken about this on the podcast before. As you get older, do you reach for the Rennies on a night out when you've been on?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, getting old is not fun, is it? Like, heartburn, all sorts, wrinkles.
Wrinkles and Rennies. That's my hot girl summer. Every hun loves a boy band, and depending on, you know, where you are, you know, in your era, everybody had a favorite boy band. Did you have one? Who are they? Are they still your favorite?
Oh no, they're not still my favorites. But I think I was very much like, I was born 88, so kind of 90s. Early 2000s crossover, which is the best time, I've got to say. The sexy one from Backstreet Boys, I think his name's Kevin, with the like little moustache. He was quite hot. I wasn't a gay young person, so I secretly kind of fancied these people. They were my, you know, who I wanted to look like not who I wanted to sleep with. And Charlie from Busted. The one with the big eyebrows.
Yeah.
He was quite fit when I was young. I was just like, oh.
Being a drag performer and obviously having the platform of Drag Race UK and the Drag Race fandom, a lot of people might look to you for inspiration. Do you have an inspirational quote or motto that you live by?
Probably a honey thing. I've got a frame with love in it.
What is the bond?
It's actually playing cards, so it's like a classy hun. I actually got it from a charity shop, to be honest.
Yeah,
and it looked expensive, so I was like,
sustainable hun.
I'm like a magpie. Oh, that looks expensive. Buy that. Yeah. And then my lovely mum, when before Drag Race started, she bought me a mug with "Don't fuck it up" on. So I was like, thanks, mum.
Don't fuck it up is obviously an iconic line from the franchise.
Yeah.
Was mum a fan of Drag Race before you went on it?
Yeah, she was. I think she really enjoyed watching, you know, obviously me on it, but no, she's watched it for quite a few years, so she was very excited.
You know, in the world of drag, you were quite new to it when you went on the show.
Yeah.
So what was that like for you, like, you know, coming into something, you know, which is so established and you're sort of fresh on the scene? Do you think that was a good thing, or do you wish you'd had a couple more years?
No, I think I'd actually put in my application for season two, but then decided, I think I got Hairspray or something like instead. And the production company kind of had emailed me to chase for a video. So I thought, well, maybe they're interested. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a really scary, it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go for it because we'd just come out of a lockdown for a whole year. My career in theatre was just up in the air anyway. And I was doing so much drag and just getting online doing, you know, just enjoying the creativity of drag.
Sure.
So I feel like I went on at the best moment I could have. And it was one of those things, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it. So yeah, it was a very daunting, scary thing to put myself through, to be honest.
Was your acceleration into drag sort of propelled through because of lockdown? And it's like, because obviously being part in, you know, the theatre worlds and everything which you were in previously, was it a case of, you know, to put theatre shows on, you need, you know, all the casts there, you need a venue, the venue needs to be COVID secure, whereas going out and performing at drag at brunches and things like that, it's a bit more self-contained. Was that some of your motivation?
Yeah, so I'd already kind of got a following before the lockdown, but then during that whole year span, there was no theatre. I was meant to be doing Hairspray, and obviously that couldn't open until the theatres could open.
Yeah.
So drag became my main income, doing brunches, doing shows. So it really did become my way of life, you know, doing drag. And suddenly I found myself, you know, known as, you know, Elle of the Day. And it was kind of a nuts year, 2020, for a lot of reasons. It was really mental.
2020 was when you sort of established. When was the first time you actually went out, gigged as Elle of the Day? Was it before that?
Yeah, it was. I'd left the Book of Mormon and I had no job to go on to. So I was like, oh God, right.
Well, get the wig out.
I can do that. Catherine Tate, I can do that. I'd done some charity, like West End charity gala night things in drag where MAC makeup put us into makeup and stuff and done a bit. You know, I had an outfit. And I basically just said, I'm that bitch. I'm like, right, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I just started putting myself out there. So I got a few jobs. And then that summer I did Joseph. And then after that, I just took myself to various prides around the country
Yeah.
And then started getting booked for cabarets. So I really just kind of went for it and thought, you know, there's no right way to get into drag. You can do it any way you want.
Okay, that leads us on. If you've got, if any of our huns out there are thinking about getting the wig, the lashes, the ear, and getting the train to the club, what would be your like number one tip for anybody starting out in the world of drag?
The thing is with drag, you don't have to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, drag for me is about the performance and what you give. So, you know, you can get a wig off Amazon. You can get yourself some makeup, you know, from Primark if you want, and then just come up with an act, like whether you're going to sing live or make yourself a mix, and then just put yourself out there, get yourself to a competition, or if you've got a friend, just go out and club and meet people. I think there's really no like one way in, yeah. And there's such a vast amount of different drag, isn't there, as well? Just find where you fit and find a crowd.
I think that's one thing. I mean, obviously very, very lucky to work with lots of drag performers in what I do and the events that we put on. And the one thing that I think, and I hope that all of our listeners know, is that the drag performers they're up at 5 if they've got brunch at 10, you know, and it may be, you know, taxi ride. They do the numbers in the brunch. They stay for the finale, and then it's pack the clothes up onto the next gig. Then yeah. Something, you know, hardest working people. Right, let's talk some more about your hun qualities. So what is the hunniest outfit do you think you've got or have had in your wardrobe?
The other day when I went to judge a stand-up, I wore this leopard print like suit thing, and I looked like a mixture of Shania Twain in Coronation Street or EastEnders. Do you remember when combat trousers with all the strings on the side were a thing?
For the purpose of the tape, I've got my Posh Spike t-shirt on today.
Oh, I love it.
Are you talking about these ones, hun?
Yes! I had like a camouflage pair, yeah, which were corduroy, and I had like a light green pair of them, and they were massive.
Yeah.
And I think they're a bit hun. Yeah. They suit you, darling. They suit you. You look gorgeous.
I mean, I am approaching 40 next week, so perhaps I should just pull myself together. But I saw these out in Bershka. I was like, oh my God. They're I think they were called jungle pants. Rylan confirmed when we had Rylan on the podcast that they are in fact jungle pants. And then a couple of weeks after, I saw them in Bershka and I was like, please don't let these be making a comeback. But I'm wearing them. No, I'm not wearing them. Ironically, I like them. I'm wearing them. I own it.
I love them. And I mean, I'm not. I wore them to filth and they had holes everywhere. You know, that and back in the day when Hoppery.
Oh, Adidas bottoms.
Yeah. Like when you have a matching suit. We're talking like olden days, but. You know.
In the days of yore. So you mentioned about leopard print there. Why is leopard print the honeyest colour?
It just goes with everything, doesn't yeah, it? Any hun can wear it at any age, with any shoe, any yeah, hair colour. It's the hun colour of choice.
Yeah, I mean, animal print, I play in my head sometimes when people are coming in to the brunch. I go, right, let's see how many like animal prints that you can spot. And it literally is dripping in animal print. If in doubt, animal print it out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, my doormat's... leopard print, love it.
Gosh. Fabulous. Hun culture and celebrity and reality TV sort of all sandwiched together. Mm. And a lot of what appears on Drag Race is a lot of like the celebrity quotes or quotes from TV shows or quotes from back in the day. You know, like Kitty was like a Rolodex of quotes, wasn't
it? Literally. Her whole, I think she lives and breathes quotes.
Yeah. Is there something that you quote with your friends or with your sisters like all the time? You know, like something like...
Yeah, it would be Nighty Night quotes. Like...
Hi, Kathy!
I don't like it, Kath. Really hate it.
I wish that was mine, Kath.
I didn't mean that's one, Kath. No, I love it. I am not an octopus! Like she Julia Davis is my favourite comedian ever, I think.
Yeah.
She is incredible.
You know, Nighty Night yeah, for me. Nighty Night and Charity Shop Sue are, I mean, I think that they're quite close together in what kind of gets my sweet spot. But
yeah,
Julia
too.
Davis is just absolutely phenomenal. I literally could, if you got the spare 3 days, we could like have a quote off, because I got a feeling that you know all the quotes and I know all the quotes. We could just sit quoting it all day.
I love it. Like, I literally watched it. I must have watched it when I was at home still, like when I was 14, 13, I don't know. Yeah. And my whole family would watch it. And it's such a dark program to watch yeah, with your whole family. But we just love it. And
yeah,
it really hits my spot as well. That sort of humour yeah, and comedy is just my favourite.
For me, it's that comedy that puts you slightly in the uncomfortable for a while. And then it literally, like, the only way I can, like, do it is, like, it makes you feel like that. But you, like, can't stop watching yeah, it. I love it. It's so brilliant.
It's incredible.
you might have been asked this lots and lots of times, but I don't know the answer to it. Have you met Nigella? I know she slid into the DMs after the...
No, I haven't. If you want to get up and we'll work on a Christmas special or something, that would work well for me. Yeah, get in touch with my management.
Yeah, get in touch. We'll make that happen.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kath. I wish that was my Nigella. We spoke about some of the queens and your sisters from season three. Hmm. Is there a season three WhatsApp group?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there has been since we... I think they'd started it while we were still there, because as people got booted out, they started to
have a sub WhatsApp group.
Obviously, I was the last to join, obviously. But yeah, there is a season three WhatsApp. Yes, indeed.
So WhatsApp group is hun. That is total hun. And obviously you're like running into each other all the time because you're gigging and stuff like that. Who have you not seen for ages?
I don't know. I've seen most of them in various time lengths. Like I see Kitty the most. Yeah. Who have I not seen? I think Victoria, because she lives in Wales, she's not the most local. So, not seen Vix for a while.
And you've obviously done your tour with your BDE tour quite recently. Yeah. Are you all BDE'd out, or are you still riding the wave?
Still riding the wave. We've got a bit of BDE coming this week, because we're doing Dragfest this weekend. Uh-huh. And I'm sure it will come out at various times throughout the year. But no, we had such a good tour. It was so much fun. Because the mad thing about doing Drag Race is you don't actually really get to know the people you're doing it with. So that was the first time that we actually spent a length of time getting to know each other, which is mad.
You really get to know somebody up and down the M1 when you've got to go in service stations and people need a slash and everything like that. That's the best time to get to know each other, or a long flight or something like that.
Hold up, we'll be back with our Gorgie guest right after this. Thank you for supporting Hunsnet on Instagram and loyally listening to this podcast, The Fundamental Guide to Life. Now, the Instagram and the podcast will always be totally free to you, babes, and you will never have to dip into that Prosexy pot to carry on consuming the Hunsnet content that you enjoy. But we know that some of you would love more content, and to facilitate this, you can now go behind the curtain and support Hunsnet on Patreon. For as little as the cost of your morning cup of coffee, you can get exclusive access to so much more Hunsnet content, exclusive discounts, offers, and even get the podcast in video form and ad free. Get involved now, babes. www.patreon.com/Hunsnet. Hun supporting Huns, honey.
Okay, now let's go into your past, okay? Because rumor has it that you were a backing dancer on the X Factor.
Yes, indeed, I was.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But not just like X Factor, Glory Years X Factor. I'm talking Ollie Murs, Yoan Quigg, that year. So how did that come about?
Just graduated 2008. And I went to an X Factor, audition for dance to be a backing dancer, and I got the job, basically, in a nutshell.
Amazing.
And so I did Could It Be Magic Now? There's only five of us. Uh-huh. So it was the glory years of X Factor. Yeah.
Well, you've been on the X Factor stuff, and obviously X Factor, without X Factor, I mean, there'd be no Love of Huns, there'd be no Hunsnet, there'd be nothing, because that is basically the glory years. Why do you think that X Factor, like, isn't it funny, like, how something that happened on the X Factor, like, 15 years ago, can take up so much time and space in people's heads? Those auditions.
X Factor, especially the glory years of like 2000, I want to say 8, 9, 10 maybe. You know, there were some epic moments like Beyonce and Alexandra Burke. And one of my favourite moments in reality TV history on X Factor is when Nikki Scherzinger took the mic off of that poor boy and just
Charmaine.
Didn't let him sing. No. it was his last song, and she's just like, no, so good.
I think the best thing about Nicole Scherzinger is that whatever that she's on, you're on her show, she's not on yours, isn't it?
Yeah, and boy did he find out that time, that night. Jesus.
but in fairness though, she did go to Asda and dressed as a supermarket checkout lady. She was going around price gunning when she was with Charmaine. So that's brilliant. Finally, on Drag Race, obviously All Stars is happening, and it's the All Winners season, which is happening now. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of the episodes yet?
I haven't. I've seen bits and bobs of it. And Jinx, I saw Jinx Monsoon's Snatch Game. Yeah. It was incredible. Like, that is how you play Snatch Game. It was fabulous. And, I'd definitely be rooting for Jinx to win, because she's... incredible. Different tangent. Did you see that video of RuPaul where he couldn't remember Jinx's name?
Yes.
DragCon.
Yeah.
Which one are you, or something? He said, oh,
"Which would you?" What's it like? Oh, I mean, I've spoken to some of the queens that we've had on the show here. What was it like meeting Rue for the first time? Was it like?
It was one of those moments. I don't get starstruck at all, yeah. But when you are faced, you are head on with RuPaul, yeah. Who is massive. He's so tall.
Yeah,
and you just realize, oh my god, I'm on Drag Race and I'm talking to RuPaul. And yeah. He knows my name, or at least he's just been told what it is in his ear. It was this average white person. Oh, elevator. it was daunting, but as the weeks/days went on,
sure,
became more comfortable, and he got to know me, and I felt more comfortable yeah. around Rue, and felt like I could banter with him more. But it's like going to the headmistress or something. Yeah. It was quite daunting and scary.
Miss Truntru. There we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, literally. Ooh.
Fabulous. So any predictions to who might win on the All-Stars All Winners season, or do you not want to name?
I've not seen any yep. of the Reddit or rumours at all, but I would love to see Jinx and yep. the Viv do really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, cards on the table. I love Drag Race. I love Drag Race UK. I love Drag Race Australia. I love Drag Race Canada. But I was getting a bit drag raced out, and I yeah. think that when I saw oh my god it's All Stars again, and then the rules that they've put in for this season and the caliber of the queens all together working together, and there's a bit of a format change to it. I found it really refreshing the first couple of episodes.
Yeah, I like the format, and I kind of wish that normal All Stars did that format where yeah. no one went home. You know,
yeah.
these girls must have spent thousands and thousands yeah. and thousands on costumes. Yeah. And imagine going on and you just get kicked off first week or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I think that's another thing. Like, I hope our Huns who listen to this is that drag might not be a contact sport, but it is a bloody expensive sport, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Easily over, you know, 2,500, 3,000 just on one outfit.
Wow.
If you're really like trying to go out there and push it, not like an ASOS £12 discount bargain dress. Yeah.
So Huns, keep your Prosecco away from the queens when they're performing at the brunches. We're now moving on to the next part of The Fundamental Guide to Life. And we're talking about music, because music is a massive part of Hun culture. A lot of the music from back in the day feeds into Hun culture and everything. It's our live, love, laugh section. So you're beating your face for a night out. What's on the stereo to get you geared up for a great night out on town with girlies?
You know, I get so distracted when music's on and it takes me ages.
Uh-huh.
But if I was to choose a song, at the moment I'm obsessed with Shania Twain. I'm actually getting a Shania Twain sort of leopard print outfit made at the moment. And it would have to be that Don't Impress Me Much, because it's just such a bop.
She's in the middle of the Nevada desert, flagging down cars,
yeah.
literally in full head-to-toe leopard print. She must have been boiling, bless her.
She's got a hood on, she's got a full-length coat, she's got a hat box. What is she doing?
And what?
She don't give a shit.
Let's talk about a song that you love to love to. Now, this doesn't have to mean doing the jiggy jiggy or anything like that, but something, you know, that makes you think of love, or something that you might be having on the background where you've got a candlelit meal for two from Marks and Spencer's in a bag and a cheap bottle of Plonk.
Maybe two options. Something Adele, if you're chilled, yeah. because, you know, Adele's got plenty of, you know, if you want to cry or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would probably say, you know, Release Me. That reminds me of back in the day in GAY. So if you're getting a bit passionate, you know, release me, release yes. my body. I know it's wrong. So we'll go for, I don't know if it's called Release Me, but we'll
yeah,
call
it's called, it's by Agnes. Yeah,
that's it, Agnes, yeah, Release
fabulous.
Me.
But that's from the era. That is a GAY late song, I reckon.
Literally, like yeah. I can remember Poker Face, Release Me. We had Fight for This Love.
Oh yeah,
Du-du-du. Broken Heels.
The best, the glory years of GAY late. I said glory years, just by if anybody is thinking not glory something else. Anyway, and finally, what song gets you right giggly and reminds you of a good fun time with your friends?
I am obsessed. This is another 90s or 2000s, can't remember. Mm-hmm. The Cause, Breathless. No, oh. Is it Breathless? Go on. That one.
Go on, leave me breathless.
Come on. Yeah.
That is a song which people have forgotten about, I think, because the Cause album, Talk on Corners, was absolutely massive. And we were all there, you know, back in the day, listening to Sharon playing her fiddle and Jim before he went a bit weird.
Yeah, obsessed with the cause. I can't believe people don't listen to the cause every day like I do.
Finally, hell of a day, everybody on The Hundamental Guide to Life get to crown another Hun as the Royal Hunness of the Week, who will sit on their throne in the Royal Hun Hall of Fame for this week. And it can be anybody, but the choice is completely yours. Your Royal Hunness out of any of the Huns out there in the world, you can choose who will be this week's Royal Hun.
The first Hun that jumps into my head has got to be my sister Kitty Scott-Claus, because I don't know if you're probably going to have her on the show. I don't know. But she is the ultimate Hun that I know.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
And what Hun, I mean, I think we all know, but let's just go through it just for lip service. What sort of Hun qualities has she got?
She's a big blonde girl. She loves to drink. She can quote anything. Yeah. She's got an encyclopediatric, whatever the word is, brain for quotes, X Factor, you know, Coronation Street. You could ask her anything and she could quote it. Like, literally, she eats quotes.
Yeah. In fact, actually, before we get Kitty on, I literally am going to have to go back to school on some of this, because I think I know a lot, but I'm a bit scared to have a quote off with Kitty, because I think she'd absolutely read me the house down boots.
She'd read you the house down boots, mama. She will be saying something and I won't even know it's a quote, because I don't really talk in quotes like she does.
But you do talk in riddles, Cafe.
I do.
Hello, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Now, before we go, please tell everybody what's coming up over Hot Girl Summer for Hell of a Day.
Oh, we got a busy summer, girl.
Big sleigh mama.
Big sleigh mama, hunty. Biscuit. I'm going to Australia to tour.
I saw this. How did this happen? Did Australia call and go, we want Hell of a Day over? And you're like, yeah, get me on that Qantas flight.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So I'm touring Australia for 4 days and then staying over there for 4 days. And then in August, I'm going to Canada on a tour with Bagger Blue and Bagger Cheryl and River. And then it'll be the season 3 tour. So, yeah.
She's international, Mama. Thank you so much for joining us. Before you go, please remind everybody where they can find you on your socials, your YouTube or your TikToks or whatever you want to promote on The Fundamental Guide to Life.
You can find me, Hell of a Day, on all social medias. I tend to use Instagram the most, because I find it the nicest place, apart from when someone's being disgusting in comments to me. There we go.
Delete, block.
Delete, block. Get a life.
Get a life. Leave me alone, Kath.
Exactly, Kathy.
Well, Kathy, it's been absolutely lovely to have you here on the show today, Kath.
Thanks, Dawn.
Oh, Dawn. Wish you the best of life. What you got left of it, Kath?
How many of you had? How many of those have you had? Just four. Well, it was gorgeous to see you, darling.
Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in Australia. Good luck with the tour. Say hello to all the gorgeous girlies who I know. I know you're in your WhatsApp group. Go out there. All Huns blazing.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
Bye, Gorgie.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it. Another episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life is over. But before you go, have you checked out the brand new Hunsnet website? www.hunsnet.com, our brand new home on the Tinterweb. Need to get tickets to Hun Brunch? We got you, darling, as all the tickets can be found there. Not yet pre-ordered the brand new Hunsnet book? Hitting bookshelves this August, might I say. Don't worry, babes, all is forgiven, because you can pre-order it on the site. And finally, if you want to treat yourself or one of your honeys to a dead gorgie present, you can browse our full range of merch too. Log on now for all things Hunsnet on the web, www.hunsnet.com. Insanity Group.